Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
We've had lots of speculation this week about who the next James Bond will be. So let's have a listen to this to get us in the mood. Well, that's it, isn't it? The unmistakable Bond theme, where we know that 007 is on manoeuvres, protecting the world from criminals, terrorists, various bad guys. It's been 2 years since Daniel Craig's last outing as the MI6 agent in No Time to Die. This week, speculation has been rife that the British actor Aaron Taylor-Johnson is going to become the next Bond, James Bond. So to look back over the franchise that has stretched for over 61 years and talk us through who made the role their own and who maybe fell short, I'm joined in the studio by Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to have you with us. So we'll tease out these rumours first about Aaron Taylor-Johnson. They kind of came from nowhere this week, didn't
they? Did. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, it is known that they have been screen testing basically any actor, any English actor under the age of 40 for the role.
Have they?
They have, yeah.
I didn't think that's how it worked. I thought that somebody made a decision in a dark room somewhere and pointed at somebody and said, hey, it's you.
You're going to be a star.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they really do go through a very, very rigorous process. Like, and this stretches back, you know, all the way back to Connery and stuff like that. Like, that they really do go through a very, very rigorous audition process for it as well. I mean, names even like Cillian Murphy have been mentioned as a possible replacement for Daniel Craig. I think Barry Keoghan was mentioned at one point as well. So there really is a very, very rigorous process. I have to be honest, it's the source of these rumours that has me kind of a little bit skeptical about it.
Oh, really?
Well, it's the Sun, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not exactly a bastion of journalism, let's be honest.
Well, look, they're good sources too, you know?
Yeah, but like, they also are speculating on this, and not only that as well.
As is everybody else now. I mean, it's everywhere now.
It is everywhere, yes, but the reality of it is that this is, we've been down this road plenty of times before. This isn't the first time that a name has been completely linked with a role and then it turns out not to be the case. That's happened plenty of times, and The Sun have reported on this plenty of times as well. So I really would be sceptical of it. Having said that, I mean, I do think Aaron Taylor-Johnson fits the role of it insofar as, you know, he's an actor with, you know, a decent enough filmography built up, not exactly a household name, but enough people would know him that when he begins the role, there'd be enough name recognition there for it. But it's
Do you have to be well known, though?
No, not at all.
To go into that role, it's probably better if you're not.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, because the idea essentially is that each actor will bring a different inflection to the role. Like, you look at, say, you know, what Pierce Brosnan did, it was the end of the Cold War, for example, and stuff like that. And kind of political correctness had kind of come in, and there was more, you know, women's liberation and stuff like that. So the kind of sexism that was very apparent in Sean Connery and Roger Moore wouldn't necessarily fly then. And then on top of that as well, you had, you know, massive advancements in sort of CGI and special effects. So the Pierce Brosnan ones had a bit more humour to them, and they were a bit more sort of traditional blockbuster.
Let's have a listen to Pierce Brosnan. We have a clip of him. This is him back in the 90s, because he took over in 1995, didn't he? He's in GoldenEye in this clip, and he's being introduced to all of his spy toys by Q.
Morning, Q. Sorry about the leg. Skiing?
Hunting.
Right, now pay attention, 007. First, your new car. BMW, agile 5 forward gears, all points radar. Self-destruct system, and naturally, all the usual refinements. Now, this I'm particularly proud of. Behind the headlights, Stinger missiles.
Excellent. Just the thing for unwinding after a rough day at the office.
Need I remind you, 007, that you have a license to kill, not to break the traffic laws.
I wouldn't think of it.
Good.
Pierce Brosnan kind of got the joke about Bond.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He was very, he was very similar, I think, in his delivery and just in his general demeanour, I think, to Roger Moore. Yeah, he got the joke. I mean, the joke always about Bond is that he is the worst spy in the world because he can go into any bar and any hotel and people will know his drink straight away and he's so world famous, and that's just completely at odds with what we know about spies.
Mm. And so can we go back now to this speculation around your Mano, who most people haven't heard of, right?
Have you not seen Bullet Train?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen Nowhere Boy?
I know about him because of his marriage.
Right.
Because he's married to a woman who's 22 years older than him.
That's right, yeah. Sam Taylor Wood, yeah.
And of course, if that was the other way around, nobody would say
anything. Oh, of course,
anything,
yeah, 100%,
right?
Yeah.
So, who else is in the frame?
Well, like I said, Cillian Murphy was mentioned at one point. Now, I don't really think he's going to be going for it, and I don't think he was even interested in it.
Sure, he'd make that choice.
I mean,
don't know, but I'm not sure.
He's got the Oscar
would.
Now on the mantelpiece. Yeah. I don't really think he needs to be doing much in terms of, you know, big, stupid blockbusters like this. Barry Keoghan was mentioned as a possible choice for it because, again, he has the age, you know, well known enough, but not so well enough that he would bring, I suppose, his own kind of baggage, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, it's not typecast.
Exactly, yeah. And that's really what they usually want for this. I mean, other names that were mentioned, I think, were was Joe Alwyn, who was Taylor Swift's ex. Theo James, who's in Netflix's The Gentleman.
Gentleman, which I'm watching at the moment, yeah.
Enjoying it?
He was in... I am, yeah. I mean, it's...
It's a bit of fun,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's a bit of crack. It's really well done.
It is, and he's very slick in it.
Like, very slick. You can see him as Bond.
Exactly.
And he's White Lotus as well. Yeah. I think he'd be... Wouldn't be a bad
He fit. Wouldn't be a bad choice, yeah. That's the thing, right?
The consideration, though, has to be for an actor who is in the enviable position of being considered for that role, that you could be doing this and only this for the next 7 to 10 years?
Easily, yeah. I mean, I remember Jared Butler, who was in the running during the Daniel Craig era. This is his word. So he says that he turned down the role because he basically didn't want to be locked in for, you know, a 5-picture deal and, you know, be doing nothing but this for 15 years. Mm. And this is a consideration because you look at the previous actors. I mean, you know, Bond is the first thing that they're always associated with, going from Sean Connery right up to Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig to a certain extent as well. Now, I think Daniel Craig definitely is a versatile actor. I mean, you see him doing the likes of, you know, Glass Onion and Knives Out. He's got that character going. He was able to do The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that US remake in the middle of it. And he's done very, very well. But in the case of Roger Moore, I mean, as soon as he finished A View to a Kill, he was just forever and a day associated with Bond. And even Sean Connery, he had to go off and do very esoteric films. Like, I mean, the first film he did post-Bond was this weird sci-fi film called Zardos that was shot up in the Wicklow Mountains, where he was, and this isn't a joke, he was literally running around in red knickers and a big gun, like, and he had a big handlebar mustache, and people know this film very, very well. So that's the lengths that some actors have to go to get clear of typecasting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose it depends what you want. Like, being Bond for 10 years mightn't be the worst thing
in
the world.
Oh, no,
but if you want to go and do other things, you've got to take that into account. Well, we have a listen to Daniel Craig. Here he is. He's with Judi Dench in this, of course. This is from the finale of Skyfall, and here he is defending his childhood home from Silva.
James Bond.
Good God. Are you still alive?
It's nice to see you, too.
M, this is Kincaid, gamekeeper here since I was a boy.
Pleased to meet you, Emma.
Mr. Kincaid.
You're a tad late. They've sold the place when they thought you were dead. Seems they were wrong. What are you doing here?
Some men are coming to kill us. We're going to kill them first.
Then we'd better get ready.
So you were saying he wasn't necessarily defined by Bond.
No.
Managed to do other things as well.
Yeah.
You mentioned Roger Moore. How good a fit do you think he was as Bond?
Well, this is the thing, is like all the different actors were very much, I guess, a reflection of the era that they were in. Like I was saying earlier, Pierce Brosnan, post-Cold War, post-Soviet Union, do we even need spies anymore? And very much took a kind of blockbustery tack to it. In the case of Roger Moore, I mean, it was almost straight up comedy, really. Like, you go back and watch some of those films, like, it is, they're quite funny. And Roger Moore did play, his joke was that he used to say, you know, he just flick his eyebrow and that was enough for an entire scene. And he did have a great comedic sense of time, and you know. But yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, the other thing I always think of Roger Moore and Bond is Alan Partridge. Like, it's, I can't see. I see the two exactly in my head.
You have an automatic association,
yeah,
do you?
Completely. And again, it's. I don't know if it's. I don't know if it's because of Alan Partridge that I think of Roger Moore as a comedic Bond. But you go back and watch Live and Let Die. You go back and watch any of those films. He's very funny, isn't it?
Like, all right.
The characters are always a little bit.
Let's
ridiculous.
Listen to this clip from Live and Let Die and try not to think about Alan Partridge.
I'm sure the overburdened British taxpayer would be fascinated to know how the Special Ordnance Section disperses its funds. In future, Commander, allow me to suggest a perfectly adequate watchmaker just down the street. Good God.
You see, by pulling out this button, sir, it turns the watch into a hyper-intensified magnetic field, powerful enough to even deflect the path of a bullet, at long range, or so Q claims.
I feel very tempted to test that theory right now.
You've ruined it now for
that's it, isn't it?
Like, yes,
but it is. Like, I mean, like, you know, he was doing like the Pretenders with Tony Curtis, even The Saint back in the '60s. That did have a quite a comedic inflection. But yeah, like he's a very funny actor. He was a very funny actor.
George Lazenby. One Bond,
but I mean, what a Bond. Like, I mean, I really do love Honor Majesty's Secret Service. You go back and watch that film, like, it's so colourful, and it's, again, that thing of it's a reflection of the time that it's in. Like, this was, like, in the swinging 60s, like, so it's almost kind of like Austin Powers in the sort of the garishness of it. And then Telly Savalas being cast as Bond, or as Blofeld, rather, is just so odd, like. But yeah, I really enjoy it. Like, it's an odd one. Like, it's definitely incongruous with everything else, because you had Sean Connery, who started off quite mean and nasty, and then by the time it got to Thunderball, he was kind of taking the mick out of himself. And then Roger Moore was very much in on the joke. So George Lazenby, I think, was a sort of an interesting diversion, for lack of a better word. But yeah, I enjoy it for what it is. It's very beautiful.
Why only one? For him.
Well, seemingly the story is that he basically got into nearly a bust up with Albert Broccoli, who was the sort of the impresario of Bond, and then he, you know, got into like transcendental meditation and wanted to go off and be a guru and stuff like that. It's all very. There's a great documentary about it as well, about his time in Bond, and you know, it's he's an interesting character, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm sure they signed them in now. Like, they
locked them in. Too much money at stake.
That can't happen again. Yeah. The last Bond film was delayed because of COVID. People might remember the aborted attempts to launch it. So where do we stand with the next one, given that we don't know who Bond is going to be?
I mean, again, the industry rumours state that they want to begin production at some point in the middle of 2025. If it does turn out that it's Aaron Taylor-Johnson, chances are they'll probably announce him, if they are going to announce anybody, I would say in the next 2 to 3 months, because they usually want to have build up enough. Like, they do have a long sort of marketing campaign, and it begins when the first actor is announced, and then the title of the film is announced, and then they'll be in production and so on and so forth. So I would say it's time enough, you know, like, it's been 2 years since No Time to Die, so it's, you know, if they are going to make another one, they should probably get started now. I mean, the reason why Timothy Dalton, which we haven't talked about, one of the reasons why Timothy Dalton only got two movies out of it was because MGM, which was the holding company that had Eon Productions, they went into a lot of financial trouble in the 80s. And the film just got delayed as a result. And where Eon Productions, which is the sort of the holding company that owns Bond, they have been kind of gravitating between different studios. Like, Universal released No Time to Die. Prior to that, to Skyfall, it was Sony Pictures and Columbia. So there's been kind of lots of talk now about which studio is going to take it on, one of the major ones like Warner's or Paramount or any of them. So yeah, well, then that'll be announced pretty soon.
Okay.
And I'd imagine, I'd say in the next 6 months we'll probably know.
And they'll have loads of work done in the background.
Oh, I mean, of course, yeah.
The lead actor is probably the last part of the jigsaw, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Brian, thanks very much. That's Brian Lloyd, who's movies editor with entertainment.ie.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.